All right, Tom, so my first question to you before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of what you are going to try to do to prevent and curb voter intimidation, what is voter intimidation? What all constitutes voter intimidation?
Well, I think any time that you're trying to interfere with somebody's right to vote, whether that be in a polling place by setting up obstacles or really anything that's trying to interfere with somebody's right to vote, for whatever reason, I think that would qualify as voter intimidation.
So is this something that Peoria County has ever seen in the past? Have you dealt with this in your position as long as you've been there?
You know, not really. Occasionally we have, occasionally, especially I think in really high profile elections where there's a lot of enthusiasm or just heightened level of interest in it. We've had some people that occasionally, I think more than anything, didn't understand the rules. So, you know, we've had to have some conversations. They were wearing like clothing that you can't campaign within 100 feet of a polling place. And that would include t-shirts or hats or something like that. So we've had a couple times we've had some issues where somebody, we've asked them to remove a hat or a t-shirt or, you know, or change. And they've got a little bit, I wouldn't say overly aggressive, but they got indignant to some extent, not understanding that what the law really is. But nothing really out of hand, just a couple incidents over the years. Nothing that's ever really risen to the point where we had to have any kind of police presence at all.
So just coming back to that for a minute before we get into some of your prevention measures, when you're talking about campaigning, that can be something as simple as a Make America Great Again hat or a Joe Biden t-shirt.
Yes, because that's, one of those is a campaign slogan, the other one's an actual candidate. So you can't have those in the polling place or within 100 feet of the polling place, the entrance to the polling place. That's considered campaigning, and you can't, or electioneering, and you can't be within a certain, there is an area around the poll that you can't electioneer or campaign in.
So much of this election has been polarized, and you've heard so much about voter intimidation. It's become kind of a buzz term recently, I feel. What is the Peoria County Elections Commission doing to help to curb that and to help to just squelch it before it even starts?
Well, probably the first thing we're attempting to do is, as much as possible, is to do outreach and education so that people understand the processes in election, because I think a lot of the concerns that people raise, or, you know, they're worried about voter fraud, they're doing these, all kinds of those things, comes from misinformation or even disinformation. So we're trying to make sure that we're doing outreach and we're explaining to people, look, if you want to know what the correct answer is, please reach out to us. We're the experts. We understand what we're doing. We're the ones administering the election. And in a lot of cases, that's what's important. But you have to follow the rules. And a lot of the things that they're hearing are, it's just misinformation or disinformation. So our first step is outreach and education. To try to make sure that they understand what the rules are. The second thing is we're trying to be proactive and make sure that we have, you know, we're communicating with the other entities in the area of the sheriff's department, the police department, so that they understand some of our concerns, which they're not unaware of either, so that if we do have an issue that rises up, we can quickly get that situation under control.
So you do have them, is it fair to say that they're kind of on standby? You don't have to have them standing guard, obviously, but they are aware of the situation. They are ready to go on Election Day if need be.
We've communicated with them about some of our concerns, which I mean, they were aware of our concerns to begin with. It was just a situation we wanted to sit down and make sure that we were on the same page and that we were communicating. We have those channels for communication set up in case we needed it on Election Day.
Tom, you mentioned earlier that you've dealt with people maybe not understanding the rules, and then when they were told that they were in violation of the rules, they got, in your words, indignant about it. What are the laws, and what are the potential penalties, I guess, is more so the accurate question I'm trying to ask you. What are the potential penalties for something considered to be voter intimidation?
Well, you know, if you're actively attempting to interfere with somebody's right to vote, or you're actively trying to interfere with the process of administering an election, it can be, it's a class 3 felony in Illinois. If you're, I mean, you can build up to that. If you're just not following the instructions of the election judge and being that way, it can, you can come up with against a misdemeanor. But if you're actually actively attempting to interfere, or if you're actively trying to discourage or stop somebody from voting, it can be up to a felony in Illinois. And that's on top of, this is a federal election, so that's the state law. There's also could be possible federal penalties.
Your first step, it sounds to me like what you're telling me, your first step is to verbally say to somebody, would you remove your hat? Would you take off your pin? Would you go and put a different shirt on before you come to vote? After that, that's when you tend to ramp up the legal measures?
You know, look, we've already had a couple of people came in early that had a hat on, or another person had a shirt on. And most of the time you just communicate. They say, okay, I didn't realize that. And that's the end. And they rectify it. They take the hat off. Or I had a person turn their shirt in. They had a sweatshirt on kind of thing over another shirt. They just turned their shirt inside out. And 99% of the time, that's the issue. If then they're being a little obstinate, usually with an election judge, a lot of times if somebody from the election commission staff has a conversation with them, that tends to discourage it. You kind of elevated it to at least what they consider a manager. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but that's kind of the way that people perceive it. The next step after that, I think, would be to reach out to law enforcement.
You mentioned that law enforcement was aware of your concerns heading into this election day. Did you feel in 2016 or even prior to that, that you had to be as worried about it as you might be this year?
It's always a concern. I don't know that we were... as concerned as we are now, just because we've seen some issues already in other locations, but also, we're just trying to be proactive as much as possible. It's a weird enough election because on top of the election, which I think has animated a lot of people, we have the pandemic on top of that. And there's a lot of views about that people take pretty serious and get pretty worked up about. So I think more than anything, it's just the layering of issues that we're dealing with that we decided it'd be best to be proactive, which we really necessarily haven't had to have in the past. I mean, we've had discussions in the past, but it was pretty general. This one was a little bit more specific.
So if people are still a little bit confused about what's what constitutes voter intimidation or what constitutes campaigning, is there a place where people could go? Is there kind of a one-stop shop somewhere where people can go, maybe a website, something like that, or a handbook somewhere that people can access that they can get all their questions answered?
You know, I don't know that there is, because to some extent the campaigning, the intimidation's real simple. If you're trying to interfere with somebody's right to vote, verbally, physically, whatever it is, that's illegal, period. I don't know that explanation is pretty simple. But the electioneering / campaigning, really, I think you may get a slight different interpretation of what is what, but ours is if it includes a slogan or a candidate's name on it, then that's electioneering, and you have to be beyond. Now, and the courts have read it differently, but I don't know that there is a one-stop place. If it's an issue and an election judge approaches you, just follow what they say, and there won't be an issue.